How many times have you walked into a room or a networking event or a stage to give a big presentation and you're terrified about what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? How can I show that I'm calm and confident and assertive and powerful? And you're certainly not going to do that if you get nervous and you crunch into a ball and you go like this and you don't use the proper body language. So today I am extremely excited to share with you an interview that we recently did with body language expert Mark Bowden, who's going to give you the one simple secret to make sure that when you are on stage, when you are talking to that person, when you're negotiating your salary, that you are doing this one thing to make sure that you are seen as calm, confident, competent, and in charge of the situation. You want to find out what it is? Then stay tuned. We had an awesome interview. We talked about all different types of things. If you are ready to master your body language and discover the mistakes and the things that you should be doing to make sure that you are always seen as the man or woman in charge, then stay tuned because we had an awesome interview and I'm going to share it with you right now.
Hello, hello everyone. Today I am extremely excited because we have an incredible guest with us, Mr. Mark Bowden. He is a body language and communications extraordinaire, and Mark has trained the political and Hollywood elite, CEOs and royalty, and did one of my absolute favorite TED Talks of all time on why we should all be a bit more inauthentic. He's the author of three wonderful books, Winning Body Language, the follow-up, Winning Body Language for Sales Professionals, How to Control the Conversation, Command Attention, and Convey the Right Message Without Ever Saying a Word, which are three things everyone should want to be able to do. And his newest book, Tame the Primitive Brain, 28 Ways in 28 Days to Tame the Most Impulsive Behaviors at Work. Mark was voted number one in the world's top 30 body language professionals for 2 years running, and we are extremely grateful that he has taken some time out of his very busy schedule to be with us here today. Thank you so much for joining us, Mark.
Oh, it's a great pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, and I hope I'll be of use to everybody there. So, fire away with your questions.
Now, before the interview, I did some research and I saw on your Facebook that you have been traveling all over the world recently, doing speaking and training people. And I just wondered, how long have you been training professionals and doing public speaking appearances?
Yeah, so I've been doing this, I think, for almost a decade, almost 10 years now. As you say, traveling all over the world, I spend a lot of time in airports, a lot of time just for moments in a country and then getting back on a plane and trying to get to the next place or back here to my family. So, it's a pretty busy time, but it's great to get the chance to go out, meet a lot of different audiences, and try and help people as much as I can, stand out, win trust, gain credibility when they're speaking just like me. So I try and emulate and use, well, I always use the techniques that I want them to learn in order for them to stand out and win trust and gain credibility, whatever conversation they're having, be it at home or work.
What got you interested and started in the study of body language and nonverbal communication?
So originally, I was just fascinated by life out there on the planet, and especially sea creatures. As a kid, I was a big rock pooler. Used to like it to get in there and look at crabs and you know, jellyfish and anything I could get my hands on, really. And then I got fascinated with human behavior. I used to think to myself, well, why did they do that? Why did I end up doing that? Why don't we have a good relationship, or you know, why do we have a great relationship? I was just interested in the behavior that went into life going on and getting on well with life or getting on badly with life. So I started to explore that whole area.
When it comes to learning body language, it's incredible how much you can learn about others simply by being observant and watching their body language and their nonverbal cues. But so many people go through their day-to-day lives and they just don't pay attention. They aren't observant to what's actually going on out there.
Well, I think you're right there, actually, if I just jump in there, because it's really important what you say there about some people aren't observant. And there's no reason why you should be, because you can really get on fine in life without being very observant. You won't die, you'll carry on, and you'll do okay, depending on, you know, where you're born and who you're born to. You'll probably do pretty much okay. It's only really when you start thinking, well, I want a little bit more, or I'm not quite where I want to be at the moment. At that point, it's usually that you're not being so observant about what you're doing, what other people are doing, and the reactions that are happening around you. So thanks for mentioning that.
Now, you train thousands of students per year through your speaking engagements and trainings, as well as all of your online courses. So what would you say to someone who knows absolutely nothing about body language? Where should they really start?
Yeah, so first of all, body language tip number one is think about your body language more than you think about anybody else's. And I say that in terms of stop reading, start leading. So stop actually what we talked about, which is stop observing the body language out there and start observing your own body language. So become interested in your own behavior. And then the second part of that would be very simple, is start observing when you think you're being open with your body language and start observing when you think you're being closed with your body language. Open and closed is very easy to see. Imagine you're warming yourself at a fire. You know, you're cold and there's a fire in front of you and you're warming yourself. And think about how much you'd open up your body to receive that warmth. And that would be open body language. Whatever you think you might do around a fire to open up and receive the warmth, yeah, start doing that as open body language. Now, think about there's no fire and you're cold and you want to warm yourself, yeah, but now you're having to use closed body language to do that. Think of all the stuff you've got to do to keep yourself warm when there's no fire. That's kind of closed body language. So pay attention to your own body language rather than anybody else's and start to perform on purpose the behaviors of open body language. If you do that alone, in fact, I'm not saying you should stop listening right now, but actually, if you just stop listening right now and went out and did that, you know, as much as you can, as many times a second as you can for the rest of your life, you would see a profound difference in the way people respond to you. You'd see a profound change to the positive. So just two tips there. And, you know, if you switch off now and start doing that, you'll do very well.
Many of our students understand the theory and they like to learn about body language, but they never actually pay attention to their own body language and what they are exuding in terms of their nonverbal cues. And they get so wrapped up in their own head that they don't actually think about what they are projecting.
Yeah. Yeah, so here's what will get you wrapped up in your own head. If you start going down the route of trying to decode other people's body language, if you start doing that reading aspect. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do body language reading. It's a really interesting area. And if you like reading about stuff, if you like getting into fine detail, if you like critical thinking, if you like to explore different possibilities and different avenues of what something could mean, if you like things like crossword puzzles, if you like things, you know, if you like kind of discovery games, then you know, or long dramas, it'll be great for you. But you could well get very, very wrapped up in it and never really make any better contact with anybody. You might walk around going, oh, I think I'm pretty intelligent and I think I know about you and I think I can read you like a book. And you might be right, maybe you but that's not going to make people like you. Nobody ever liked anybody who went, I know what you're thinking right now. They just thought they were being a bit of a smart, you know, smart aleck, and it will lower their status. So, of course, so explore the world of behavior as much as you like. But if you're one of those introverted people who also likes to get into a lot of fine data, get into the data about your own performance rather than the data about other people. Read about your behavior that you can send out rather than reading about the behavior of other people, because that will help you make better contact with other people. And it's about making those good, strong relationships that's the key. Hope that makes sense.
Now that is some phenomenal advice. Now I'd like to take a second and talk about your TED Talk on why and how we should all be a bit more inauthentic when it comes to creating a favorable first impression with someone new.
Yeah. So we often assume that, and we'd be quite right, that there are kind of two responses, the approach or avoid response to somebody else. And that's pretty accurate. But within that, you've got some other subcategories that the primitive brain, your brainstem, uses. It's a 500 million year old brain. It's very old and has simple what we call heuristics, ways of making decisions based on the world that it sees around it, and a very simple, let's call it an algorithm, to make a decision. And it's got four categories it can put people into. So, as you're watching me now, as you as the audience, you're watching me now, I would say there are four categories that you can put me into. First category, in no real order, is you look at me and you look at my behavior and the tonality of my voice, and you think, is Mark a friend to me? Will I benefit from him? If I spend time with him, will I come out with more than I went in with? Will I profit from being around him? And if you do that with me, a message is sent from that brainstem to the smart brain, the neocortex, saying, go and get me all the data that proves Mark is a friend. So you get what we call a cognitive bias. But the bias is based on my behavior. You're not bothered about what I'm saying. In fact, you'll adapt, you'll manipulate, you'll distort and delete and pick, cherry pick, the good stuff, the friendly stuff that you're hearing from me to fit your bias. And if there is no friendly stuff, you'll just make it up. You'll just create an imaginative idea about me being friendly. Now, alternatively, another category is I start behaving in front of you and I trigger you with the idea that I am a threat. I am a predator. If you spend time with me, you will come out with less than you went in with. I'll take from you. Again, if I hit that, you get a cognitive bias and you only get the bad stuff from me. And if I'm actually telling you good stuff and I'm being a great person to be around, but essentially my body language has told you that I'm a threat, you'll make up a story about me being a threat, regardless of the great content, the great work, the great person I am to be around. You'll distort me into a bad person to be around. Now, third category is you see certain signals within me and it triggers an innate response for you to think, oh yeah, I'm a potential sexual partner for you. I'm a potential mate for you. And there's lots of things that might hit that. We look at things like hair, whether it's shiny, whether it's strong in color. That denotes high mineral content, high omega-3s in the diet. Means I come from a land where there's a good, rich food source. And if we're to mate, the offspring stand a good chance of that food source. Okay. Now, that you see here, this just comes out of a bottle. So, I put this stuff on. And I only tell you that just so you can understand that we as human beings have been putting on signals for millennia to get people to feel the best about us, to think the best about us. It is natural, it is authentic for human beings to put on behaviors. Actually, it's very authentic for us to lie. Lying is one of our most important social skills. If you can't lie, and there are some people out there who don't have the ability to lie, it's not that they choose not to lie, okay? They don't have the ability because of some cognitive processes, some differences that they have. They find it very hard for other people to get on with them. Yeah? They have to be well supported by a community, because lying is one of our most important social skills. In fact, some of the people out there who I've noticed try very, very hard to be very, very authentic with people, they're not that nice to be around because they say stuff and they go, well, I'm just being authentic. Then you have to go, yeah, you're being nasty, actually. It's like, I don't want to go out with you. You're not very pleasant. Yeah. So we put on behaviors in order to get along with other people. It's an important skill of ours. Last category, if I don't hit friend or enemy or sexual partner for you, you're just indifferent to me. Yeah. You've, in fact, if I didn't hit friend for you when I first came on here, you've already switched off. You're not here anymore. Yeah, you've gone. Yeah, those people that aren't watching this anymore, I didn't trigger for them enough of a sense of reward being around me, and they're already gone. But I'm going to guess that most of you are still here. So, because I'm doing some things on purpose in order to be able to attract you to me, and therefore for you to be positive around my content. Bit of a long talk there, but I hope that made sense, Brandon.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. And it really ties into what we teach a lot of our students, and that you don't have to change who you are. You just have to become a personality chameleon to adapt to the specific situation.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got to decide how you think you best fit in, and you've got to decide what you might want to perform, what behaviors of yours you might want to perform in order to best work socially. I would say, and this might be a little bit extreme for some people, but I often think that this idea of authenticity is actually a little bit antisocial. This idea of, you know what, I should be able to be whoever I want to be, you know, I should be able to be me, yeah? And if people find it offensive, that's their problem, you know, because I got to be me. Well, no, that's just sometimes antisocial. That's in fact, there's levels of that we just call it an antisocial disorder, to be honest. So it's getting the right balance between you, the you that you really enjoy and you're comfortable with, and how does that fit in with the others around? Because we human beings, we are social mammals. We're not designed to be on our own. Yeah, the moment you're going, you know what, I'd like to spend a long, long time on my own. Well, that's the start of an antisocial disorder.
Yeah, that's definitely not what we're going for. So if someone wants to really convey that they are confident and competent, it's really all about the use of open body language, more so than anything else.
Yeah, so look, it's really simple, and I wish I could make it more difficult. I wish I could make it more difficult so people wouldn't go, was that it? Is that all? Like that, and I have to go, yeah. And they'll go, well, okay, but what else? And I go, nothing else. Just do this. Just do this. What? But what else should I? Nothing else. Just do this. Okay, here's what I want you to do is open body language. Just open body language. And I'll be a little more specific. I would like you to do open body language at exactly navel height. I'm going to push back my chair a little bit so you can see this better when I'm sitting down. Okay? So I'm being very open in the palms of my hands. Yeah? And I'm being open at navel height as well. So that's different from being open at chest height. It's different from being open at head height, and it's different from being open below my belt line, okay? It's open at navel height. I call this area of the body the truth plane, the horizontal gesture plane of truth, because when you gesture here openly, people feel that you are calm, assertive, open, honest, good to get along with. There's really no downside to this, especially if you're symmetrical. But all you need to think about is being open in this area here. You can do this standing, or you can do this sitting, as I'm doing with you now. So it really is, you know, it really is that simple. I wish I could make it more difficult for you.
Right. It's actually just the act of doing it, especially when you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, so when interactions get more tricky for you, when you get stressed, when you're feeling that you don't quite fit in, when you're confused, when you're angry, upset, your body will authentically want to do other stuff. It'll want to be authentic and do closed body language. It will want to conceal. It will want to cover the feelings that you have rather than be exposed. And so that's what I talk about being inauthentic. under stress and under pressure, and when you're feeling that you're not fitting in, when you're feeling like people might be against you, when you're feeling that you might be in the wrong place, yeah, your authentic self will go, let's do fight or flight. Let's cover up, or let's get really aggressive around this and control this situation. Yeah, and it won't want to do calm, assertive body language. What you want to do is do that on purpose. Force yourself to do calm, assertive, open body language, open palm gestures at the truth plane. It's as simple as that.
I love it. Just keeping it simple. No need to make it hard on yourself. It's just tapping into that primal part of the brain and forcing yourself to do the opposite and fight that initial impulse. Now, speaking of impulses, I'd like to take a second and ask sure. a